share the proof of our love sometimes. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, you ready for some preaching?
Yes, sir.
Let's go to the fourth dimension for a while. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And Luke chapter 5 tonight. Matthew 8 and Luke chapter 5. Anybody need a Bible to use while you're here tonight? Would you raise your hand? And ushers, would you help out? Matthew 8 and Luke chapter 5. I tell you what, I'm glad we're not without hope. Matthew 8 and Luke chapter 5 tonight. If you were not in the morning message, let me just in a nutshell capsulize for you. Jesus, when he came to this earth, he stood up and he told him, he says, "I'm not of this world." That's one of the best statements I ever heard. We wouldn't have much of a Savior if this was the world he was from. He said, "I'm not from this world." He says, I'm from another world, a heavenly country. And listen to me. What we talked about this morning, that Jesus' mind was in the fourth dimension. He talked about the Father in heaven. He talked about what was going to happen in the future. We talked about this morning how the three dimensions. Say, what's the fourth dimension? Three dimension is what? Look right up here. It's what? Height, width, and what? Depth. Or if you would, see, hear, or touch. It's three-dimensional. But the fourth dimension is that which we cannot see. Everybody in here was saved by believing in the fourth dimension. Is that right?
Amen.
You accepted Christ without seeing him. Is that right?
Amen.
So you went in the fourth dimension. Let me ask you a question, those of you who are here this morning. Which is more real? If we could measure reality from which lasts the longest, if we can measure reality, which would be more real? The third dimension, the here and now, or the fourth dimension, the future?
Fourth.
The what?
Fourth.
The fourth dimension, because the things that are unseen are what? Eternal. The things that are unseen are eternal. The things that are seen are temporary. So the best reality we can live is live in the fourth dimension. Live with our mind in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's going to do for us one day. Now, I also said this to you this morning. I want you to think. You say this fourth dimension, what are you talking about? I'm talking about living in the unseen. I'm talking about living with a mind that's in heaven already. I'm talking about every once in a while coming down and paying the bills and going back up again. It's a good way to live. The Bible says we're to walk by faith. Is that third or fourth dimension?
Fourth
dimension. Not by sight. Is that third or fourth dimension?
Third.
So we're supposed to walk in the fourth dimension, in the unseen. Yes, we take care of the things in the scene, but we're not supposed to walk by sight. Now, with that in mind tonight, walking in the Spirit, if you would, not in the flesh, let me show you something that impresses Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 8 and stay right with me. Matthew chapter 8. If you really want to see what impresses Jesus while he's down here on this earth, let me show you two people that impressed the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. This was a soldier, if you would, a leader. And saying, "Lord, my servant," Matthew chapter 8, verse 6, "my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled. This impressed the Lord. Would you agree?
Yes.
He marveled, and he said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great what?
Faith.
No, not in Israel." What he said there was simply this. Listen. I haven't seen somebody like this that's living in the fourth dimension in a long time. Because that centurion said, "Listen, you don't have to come to my house, Lord. All you just do is speak the word, and my servant will be healed." Hey, that's a man that's got his mind in the fourth dimension. That's a man that's got his mind in faith. Look, if you would, at Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. You say, "Ladies, we always talk about men. What about ladies?" All right, let me show you a lady that impressed the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 15. And by the way, ladies, whether you're single or married, you can impress the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Matthew 15. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence, Matthew 15:21, and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. By the way, Jesus, when he was working with devils, always worked with the fourth dimension. You remember when the demoniac came out and you would have saw a man and we would have looked at him, he cut himself in the tombs and he was kind of a gross looking character, no doubt, and had marks all over him. When he came out, do you know Jesus didn't speak to the man, but spoke to the legion of devils inside of that man? That's fourth dimensional stuff, amen? Did you hear what I said? When he comes out, Jesus said, what's thy name? And the devils, the legion inside him said, our name is Legion. He didn't talk to the man. He talked to that which inside of the man. That's fourth dimension. Somebody says, ooh. That's reality. Hey, let's not forget something. There are still devils in the world today. They still possess people. Somebody says, well, no, we don't talk about that in a Baptist church. Well, why not? It's a Christian church. There are still devils and they still possess people. Hey, you know what this rock music thing is all about on Wednesday night? I mean, there's no doubt there's men and women in that thing totally controlled by devils. Oh, come on, preacher, that's Pentecostal stuff. No, that's Bible stuff. I'm serious now. Now, don't go out and look for a devil behind every tree. Some people are that way. They go around casting devils out of where there's no devils. Amen? But what I'm saying is, when Jesus talked to that man, that demoniac, he didn't talk in the third dimension. He talked to the fourth dimension. And the devil said, art thou come to torment us before our time? I mean, he was carrying on a conversation in the fourth dimension. Amen? Look what it's, this woman. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Now that's rude. That's rude. I mean, this woman comes and says, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Didn't even talk to her. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. You know what her problem was? She was from Canaan. And Canaanites were not Israelites. Are you with me? And the disciples... not a whole lot of charity here. The disciples came and besought Jesus, him saying, send her away, she's crying after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now wait a minute. What was the question? She said, Lord, son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And his answer, first he didn't answer, then his disciples said, get rid of this woman. She's crying after us all the time. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed. And Jesus' answer was this, I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now she's just about ready to impress the Lord. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Second time she comes back. Are you following with me?
Yes.
Second time she comes back and says, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread, Israel, and to cast it to dogs, Gentiles. Is that what you read?
Yes.
Now listen, follow with me. I mean, think about this thing. The woman comes up to Jesus, and should we illustrate this? No, I won't embarrass the lady. She comes up to Jesus and said, my daughter is grievously vexed with this devil, son of David, help. And he didn't answer. And the disciples said, get rid of this woman. And he says, hey, listen, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she comes, Lord, help me. Jesus says, hey, it's not meet to take the children's bread, Israel, and cast it to dogs. Jesus called her a dog. Is that what you read?
Yes.
And she saith, truth, Lord. Didn't get offended. Just said, that's true, Lord. I'm a dog. Gentile dog. Yet, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And when she said that, the Lord thought, there's one in the fourth dimension. There's one that believes. There's one that my Father has opened up her understanding to understand who she is and who Israel is. And she said, that woman knows what she's talking about. Impress the Lord, amen. Why? That woman was thinking not third dimension, fourth dimension. That woman could have went out and said, what a, you're supposed to be the Savior and charity and all this. Man, you said I'm a dog. I'm a so offended. But she said, truth, Lord. But you know, even us dogs need to eat some of the crumbs once in a while. And the Lord, my soul. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy what?
Hey.
Fourth dimension. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour.
Amen.
Hey, it pays to walk in the fourth dimension and know what's going on. Amen?
Amen.
Look at Luke chapter 5. I always love that story. Luke chapter 5. With Luke chapter 5, pick up Mark chapter 6. Luke 5 and Mark 6. We're just going to study the Bible just a little bit. Amen? Luke 5 and Mark chapter 6. Hey, how would have you ladies felt, by the way? If he would have said, hey, listen, I just don't, you know, I'm not worried about the dogs. Well, I've never been treated so terribly in all my life. You know what? She stood right up to the Lord. That takes some
amen.
Fortitude, amen? Takes some understanding, amen? Jesus liked that. Luke chapter 5. Now, watch this fourth and third dimension stuff. Third dimension is this present world. Fourth dimension is the world to come. And we'll go through this quickly because you're familiar with. This is right, if you would, when Jesus had spoken out of Peter's boat. And he says to Peter, launch out into the deep. Now watch this carefully. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Look right up here. Look right up here. We were saved by faith. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Was everybody in here saved by faith?
Yes.
How many all saved by faith?
Yes.
Not of works, that not of yourself, lest any man should what?
Boast.
It was his work upon the cross of Calvary. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now listen to me. After we're saved, we're supposed to get our mind like his mind. We're supposed to work to get out of this world with our mind. And I know we need to take care of things in this world, but we're supposed to walk by faith, fourth dimension, not by sight. He wants us to live and walk in our spirit and not just in our flesh. Now, with that in mind, watch carefully. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Jesus is giving him something fourth dimension. Notice what Peter says. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. What's Peter looking at? Third dimension or fourth dimension?
Third
dimension. He says, hey, listen, we've been out there. We fished this whole place out. And last night, there's nothing out there. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the what? Third dimension or fourth dimension?
Third.
Why?
Only one.
Jesus said, let down your what?
Nets,
plural. You know that. And Peter said, all right, at thy word, I'll let down the net. He was thinking third dimension.
Right.
Is that right?
Right?
And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. And their net, third dimension, break. You know the next thing they do? Hey! Fish! Come and help! Fish! Come on, fish! And the Bible says the partners got together, they rowed out there, and man, they got those nets down, they begin enveloping this great big group of fishes out there, herd of fishes, a school of fishes. What are you laughing at? Okay, flock of fishes. Hey, it's a bunch of fishes, amen? You can tell I'm a fisherman, amen, Hollis? And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. You know what happened? Peter was thinking third dimension. Jesus was thinking fourth dimension. God wanted to bless them fourth dimension, but Peter was thinking third dimension. That's the way we are. Amen. And the ship began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, For I am a sinful man, O Lord. Hey, what was he so convicted about?
Lack of faith.
Lack of thinking fourth dimension. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And he goes on to say, fear not, from thenceforth catch men. Verse 11, look at it. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know what? Now wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. They forsook all and followed him. I mean, they left their nets, they left their boats, they left the city they grew up in, they left all their friends, and they followed him. Is that what you read?
Amen.
I wonder if anybody there said, what are you guys doing? What are you following him for? What about your nets, your fishermen, your boats? Look at all the fishes you just caught. What are you walking away from the fishes for? But they weren't thinking three-dimensional anymore. They were thinking fourth dimension. Because he said, follow me, I'll make you what? Fishers of men. And in the fourth dimension, they said, we're following him. Somebody said, hey, where are you going? They might have said, we don't know, but we're following him. What are you going to do? We're going to catch fish, men. What does that mean? We don't know. We're going to find out. They didn't know what they were doing. Did you hear what I just said? They didn't know what they were doing. Let me give you a theological nugget. Oftentimes when we walk by faith, we have no idea what's going to happen next. We have no idea what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. Say, preacher, come on now, don't tell them that. But it's true. When those disciples, when those apostles to be left those nets and left those fishes and left their boats, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't know what they were going to do. They just saw something in the fourth dimension that they couldn't believe. They were astonished and they said, we're following him. You mark it down. Talk to a preacher. Talk to a missionary. Talk to somebody who's done a lot for God. And they'll tell you half the time they don't have any idea of what they're doing.
Amen.
Where's all the amens?
Amen.
It's true. A man says, don't tell my wife that. Don't tell her that. She thinks I know what I'm doing. Well, let me burst her bubble and bring you down. Because a lot of times we don't know what we're doing next, friend. The wife says, honey, now, how's it going to happen? And what if this? And what if that? And the man starts saying, well, if this happens, we'll do this. And if this happens, we'll do that. You don't know what you're talking about. Because faith says, I'm going to do it, and I don't know what's going to happen next. Hey, Sarah says to Abraham, where are we going? I don't know. What are we going to do? I don't know. How long are we going to be gone? I don't know. Who said to come? The Lord. Okay.
Amen.
Is that what you read?
Amen.
I mean, getting in the fourth dimension doesn't mean we get all the answers all at once. And it doesn't mean everybody's going to understand. I bet you there were people in that village that said, man, these fishermen? Cult. It's got to be a cult.
Yeah.
Just a cult. Hey, I remember just after I got saved, I was saved about 8-10 months, and Brother Rhodes came by and talked to him a little bit, and he needed someone later on, called me up, said he needed someone to help his boat, help on the boat to take it over the mission field, and I told my pastor I was leaving, and I prayed about it and talked to my pastor and counseled with him, and he says, man, you ought to go. Now, the rest of the church, I was the youngest Christian in the church. About 10 months over the Lord. You know, after we talked and we prayed about it and everything, he said, I think you ought to go. I said, yeah, I think I should too. All the Christians in the church, a lot of them said, oh, he's going where? Now, they weren't unkind. I was the youngest Christian in the church. They thought, well, you stay here and get trained. And I'm not against that. And by the way, if someone says, well, that gives me, I'm great, I'm going. Be careful. But a lot of the Christians, you know, they'd come up and say, we're really praying for you. Hey, ladies told me later, 5 years later, there was a group of ladies praying that God would stop me if he didn't want me to go. I appreciate that. And they were serious. Too serious. Literally, they were meeting once a week or twice a week, and they were praying, if Brother Fisher is wrong, stop him. Do whatever you have to do. One of them even said, we prayed that God would put you in the hospital if he didn't want you going. That's fair. I'm glad they didn't tell me then, amen? I understood it better later on. Some of them didn't understand. Hey, you know what? Everybody in the Marine Corps that I used to be associated with, none of them understood. What are you doing, Lieutenant? You're out of the Marine Corps now, and you're going to that church down there that's a cult, and now you're going to do what? You're going to go sail a boat where? What are you, crazy? Fourth dimension. And they were thinking third dimension. I'll tell you even a greater time. I come out here, met John. Oh, we got ready to go. We went out. Oh, by the way, just before we left, I met my wife here. Met Patty here. We began to correspond. She fell in love with a handsome missionary. What are you laughing at?
Where's he at?
The problem is my wife's laughing. That's the problem. No. Hey, if you would have seen me back then, I won't go into detail. I come in with a red hooded thing on, black military glasses. Man, did I. Boy, you know, just pure. Well, If you're visiting here tonight, don't believe them. Don't. They know not what they do. Anyways, she fell in love with me. Wrote me letters asking me to marry her. Just kidding.
That's the way it had to work.
Anyways, I came back in the latter part of August, and we were married in September. Now listen, we were married in September, and about 4 days after our marriage, we went to Travis Air Force Base, got on a C-130, put everything we owned on a cargo, or everything she owned, mine was already gone, put everything we owned with my van and everything on a cargo ship, and sent it over. We got on a C-130, went to Hawaii, got on a 141, and went to Samoa. Her family. You're going where?
Yeah.
You got to do what? She was 1 year old in the Lord. Is that right? 1 year old in the Lord. And her family said, huh? They're from Burbank. Needless to say, I didn't get many postcards from her family. Amen? Now, I'm not putting them down because I would have probably thought the same. This guy comes in, she gets married, we get on a little airplane, we go over to Samoa. My monthly support was, we didn't go on deputation. We just took whatever military. We ate a lot of rice and fish once in a while, and once in a while some hot dogs. We were just fine, thank you. No, I'm not going to get in the flesh, all right? But we were taken care of very, very handily. But you know, I got to tell you this. In that family, I was the goat for a while. Can you understand? Nobody talked to me for a while. When we came back with the birth of Eric, got Patty back here. She had some complications. I went back to mission field to finish my commitment. My brother John? Came back. When I came back, he's back. You understand? Hey, listen, I was living in fourth dimension. My wife was in fourth dimension. Everybody around us was in 3D. And they didn't understand what we were doing. And by the way, a lot of times I didn't know what was happening next either. But I knew I was doing what we were supposed to do. Not everybody around you, not all your relatives, not all the people around you, not all your neighbors are going to understand. Not everybody in your business is going to understand what you're doing. And a lot of times you're not going to understand what you're doing. Hey, all right. I wonder what happened when Noah started building his boat. I'm sure the whole community showed up and said, yes, this makes sense. Now, by the way, what is this rain stuff?
Come on.
What is this water stuff? What is this big boat for? This is a new museum? Hey, Noah, are you... Noah was building a boat in the fourth dimension. Everybody was looking at him in the third dimension. Nice boat there, Noah. Hope it floats.
Yeah, man.
We're praying for water for you, Noah. Noah was operating fourth dimension. Is that right? Hey, do you think Noah understood everything that was going on? All God said, here's the dimensions, here's how to build it, here's what to do. And Noah, I want you to be a zookeeper. Is that what you read? Amen. Noah just did it, and God blessed Noah. How about Gideon? There's a good one. Hey, Gideon, here's what I want you to do. Gideon said, you want me to do what? No, you got the wrong guy. You see, listen, I can't go after those Midianites. I'm of the least tribe of Manasseh. Who am I? He was thinking 3D. God was thinking, no, you're the one. Remember Gideon had to go through all the fleece stuff and everything? God had to convince him. Hey, you say, well, what was the big deal? I would have done that. Oh, sure you would have.
Yeah. Come on.
Midianites out there is the grasshopper, and he says, here's your 300. We had too many. Had to cut down, make a cut. We got 300 left. And by the way, here's your weapons. Here's your candles, matches, pitcher, trumpet. Ready? Let's go get them. Are we ready? Couldn't you see these guys walking out of camp? What are they going to do? They got the pitchers, they got the candles. Who's got the matches? Anybody got the matches? They got the trumpets and they walk up. I mean, I bet you people thought, crazy. Fourth dimension stuff. God met Gideon in the fourth dimension. God met Noah in the fourth dimension. And it worked.
Amen.
Would you agree? Okay. Little boy named David. Come on now.
Amen.
Little boy named David comes out to the battlefield one day. Big Goliath down in the valley calling up, provoking the Israelites. All the Israelites. Little boy named David comes out, says, what's going on here? Who is this guy? What's going on here? I mean, isn't there not a cause?
Yeah.
Why are we letting this uncircumcised Philistine stop us? And all the brothers go, shut up, man. Shut up. You naughty little boy, get out of here. We know you're just out here for adventure. Get out of here. And he says, hey, I'll take this guy on. So they bring him into Saul. And when he comes into Saul, Saul says, you're a young boy. You're a young lad. You can't fight this Goliath. And David says, well, I killed a bear. And I killed a lion. Saul said, good enough for me. Hey, it's either David or me. I choose David, amen. I'm the king and he's the guy. I'll delegate this one out, amen. Oh, by the way, when David comes running out, he goes out and gets his five little smooth stones, puts them in his pouch, got his slingshot. Five smooth stones. That's fourth dimension. Why five? Tell me.
For
brothers. That's fourth dimension. Not only Goliath, but he thought, if he sends in the backup troops, I've got four more stones for his brothers. Amen. That's fourth dimension stuff.
Amen.
David comes out there, and Goliath's standing over there, and Goliath says, hey, what am I, a dog? Look, hey, you send me this little boy with a stave? Oh, and David starts running after him. That's fourth dimension. It's happening in a 3D world, but at fourth dimension, because he's going in the power of God. And Goliath's standing there kind of laughing and everything. Oh, and David's running after him, picks that stone, starts running that slingshot. Say, Lord, make this one count. That's fourth dimension. And he lets that thing go, and God takes that little walk and goes, poop. A giant falls down. That's fourth dimension. And he takes that giant sword and he starts hacking away at his head and finally gets that head off, hands it up. Hey! And the Israelites go, yeah! And they take off after the rest of them. That's fourth dimension. Can't you see all those boys up on the hill go, no, watch him die. Anybody want to take bets? He's going to die. He's not even going to get close. Want to keep him? Right, right, yeah, see. What? Whoa! What? Can't believe my eyes. Fourth dimension. Hey, that's all through this Bible, friend. And God hasn't changed. Same God that helped David can help us. What are we down about tonight? What are we worried about tonight? What are we depressed about tonight? We're on our way to heaven, man. One day Elijah came out, walked outside with his servant. Looked around. Fine day, Gehazi. Fine day out here. Gehazi said, fine day, we're surrounded. The Syrian army's all around us and they want us. Elisha didn't say it, but he could have said, yeah, got them right where we want them. Yeah, everything's looking good. Looks like the battle's set in array and everything's looking good. And the Gehazi say, wait a minute, what do you mean? They're surrounded, all of them and two of us. And Elisha says, Lord, open this boy's eyes so he can see. And God opens Gehazi's eyes and he looks, and behind the army, all around, are who? And Gehazi said, not bad. Nice day, Elisha. Things are looking better, amen. Yeah. You know what happened? Gehazi was looking 3D. Elisha was seen at 4D. Amen. And the only way we can see 4D, Elisha said, open the boy's eyes. Open my servant's eyes. And when God opened his eyes, he said, hey, everything looking pretty good. If we could see what's going on in our home, in our lives and everything, you and I, you know, we'd be a little scared. But once we got used to this four-dimensional stuff, boy, I tell you what, we get fired up for the Lord.
Amen.
I'm serious. You say, what do you think's going on outside this church tonight while I'm preaching? Or wouldn't you like to see? Maybe not. Everything's looking pretty good out there, Lord. Keep them back for a while. Look, if you would, at Mark chapter 6. Stay right with me. Mark 6. By the way, I'm enjoying this tonight. Mark chapter 6, and pick up Mark chapter 6 with Ephesians chapter 5. Mark chapter 6 and Ephesians chapter 5. Stay with me. We just got to get out of this third dimensional stuff. Mark chapter 6, Ephesians 5. Please stay with me. I'd like to tell you that this stuff of living in the four dimensions happens overnight. But may I say to you this, Mark 6 in Ephesians chapter what? 5. May I say this to you tonight? Last two scriptures I'm going to ask you to turn to. Don't lose me. Look right up here. We don't automatically become a giant in the faith. It takes training. It's a slow process of building our faith. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our what?
Faith.
So, listen to me. What he's authoring and finishing is our fourth dimensional mind. Let me say it again. What he's authoring and finishing is our fourth dimensional mind and heart. He wants us to get to the place where not only do we believe, but we believe it not with just our mind, but in our heart, so we do. And if we get to the place where we believe in our mind and our heart, then we begin to act like we're in the fourth dimension. Are you with me? Don't click me off, please, tonight. Don't click me off. God wants us living in the fourth dimension. But it takes some training. Look at Mark chapter 6. Follow with me very quickly. Mark chapter 6. Look, if you were, to verse 7. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. That's fourth dimension. And commanded them, watch carefully, verse 8, that they should take what? That they should take nothing for the journey. Now somebody says, man, that's what are they going to eat? Take nothing for the journey, save a staff only, no scrip. What scrip? No bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals and not put on two coats. One coat, sandal, a stave, a staff. That's it. Go preach. You know what he was telling them to do? I want you to go in my power. I want you to let me supply your needs. Two sandals, one coat, a staff, and my word. Go. Two by two. I'll take care of you. Wherever you go and preach, don't worry. I've got things along the way that'll take care of you. When you need that, would you need help? I'll be there to help you. If you get over near the river Chinnereth, I got some ravens over there to take care of you there. Amen. Just like Elijah, man. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying as we walk through life in the fourth dimension road, God's going to take care of us. Amen. Now, let me say something. Listen to me. Every one of us in here have planned out our three-dimensional road. And I had it all planned out. Let me say it again. Get your attention here. Every one of us in here have planned out our three-dimensional road. I planned mine out. Hey, college, commission in the Marine Corps, and lifer in the Marine Corps. That was my plan. I was going to be a lifer in the Marine Corps. I would have been a lieutenant colonel by now. Everything was planned in my mind. But you know what? God had a different plan for me in the fourth dimension. God had a different road planned for me in the fourth dimension. He said, no, you see yourself going down the Marine Corps. You see yourself making rank. You see yourself being an officer. You like all that stuff, don't you, Doug? You like that saluting stuff, and you like them falling down at your feet and calling you sir, and you like that money, and you like that kind of action, to be able to go out and do that kind of stuff. No, you like that stuff, don't you? I'm sorry, I got something else planned for you. But I have a free will. I had a free will. And God said, here's what I'd like you to do. At age 24, after you got saved, I want you to step out of that Marine Corps. I want you to step over here. I just want you to go studying for 8 months. Then I'm going to take you to the mission field. Then I'm going to bring you back off the mission field. I'm going to bring you to Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm going to have you start the military ministry. I'm going to have you become pastor there. And then I'm going to have you learn how to be a pastor for about 25 years. Now, that's a lot different than my three-dimensional plans. Look up here. What you have planned may be different than what God has planned for you. Amen. Did you ever notice every once in a while God changed the plan? How many have had God change your plans? And if you have not raised your hand on that, next week He'll take care of it. Let me say that again. How many of you have had God change your plans in your three-dimensional thinking? Now, if you've not raised your hand, you say, no, that's not happened to me yet. I've had everything just right. Stand by. He'll change them sooner or later. Just to keep us honest and walking by faith. Paul one day was on the road. You know what he's going to do? He's going to get some more Christians to kill him. Is that right? God changed his plans in a fourth dimensional way. Wouldn't you agree? On that road to Damascus, he was on his way to kill Christians, get some more to kill. And the Lord, in a bright light, started speaking to Paul. And he said, who art thou, Lord? If you saw a bright light like that, you'd say Lord too, amen? He said, Saul, it's hard for thee to kick against the what? Pricks. That day, fourth dimensional stuff. By the way, when Paul left that road, he left and he walked a fourth dimensional path all the way the rest of his life. Would you agree with that? Fourth dimension from that day forward, fourth dimension all the way through. By the way, even when Christians tried to detour Paul, he wouldn't let them. Statement. Sooner or later, you're going to have some three-dimensional Christians criticize you. Statement. Sooner or later, in your fourth dimensional walk, you're going to have some three-dimensional Christians. I didn't say those of the world. I said Christians. Criticize you. Listen to me now. Even stronger statement. Satan would love to hinder you in your fourth dimensional walk and road. Would you agree with that?
Yes,
Satan would love to hinder us in our fourth dimensional walk and road. Now listen to me. He'll even use Christians if he can. Why do you get quiet in here? Come on now. I'm going to do something fourth dimensional. Hey, okay, here we go. I became pastor of this church. Brother Doug, do you remember a meeting in a restaurant over at Mother Sally's just after I became pastor? And we were sitting around with a bunch of pastors down there. Do you remember that meeting? We cried outside afterwards. Do you remember that deal? We were over in a meeting, Mother Sally's, right after I became pastor of this church. Group of pastors in there. They looked at Doug and I just after our pastor had resigned. And they said, it'll never go without that pastor. Do you remember them saying that? Glory! Thanks! Thanks for the encouragement, boys! I had one of them say to me, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole if I were you. Christian? They had all given up. They'd all say, hey, the church is never going to make it. They were thinking three-dimension and God was thinking four-dimension. God was going to take a dumb little boy with some other people that just hung in there and stayed steadfast and stayed faithful, and he was going to raise this church back up again. Fourth dimensional. Every once in a while, Christians say dumb things. Like, I don't think you can do it. Like you? Hey, statement. Satan tried to hinder me personally that day. I went home and I thought to myself, these pastors know much more than I do. Maybe I ought to not become the pastor. Maybe I ought to not do this. Maybe I ought not. But you know, was it too long thereafter that God said, I left thee in Crete to set in order the things that are wanted and ordain those in every city. And God gave me a scripture. And he says, don't you listen to them, you listen to my word. Amen. And I jumped back into the fourth dimension.
Yes, sir.
And it got to the place I didn't care what anybody said. God gave me a scripture. God gave me something out of the fourth dimensional book to do a fourth dimensional job. Every once in a while, Christians say and do things to you that hinder us. Maybe they know, maybe they don't know. And Satan can use that. It pays to know God. It pays to abide. It pays to know this book. Hey, look right up here. Let me show you something fourth dimensional. Prayer is fourth dimensional.
Amen.
Somebody says, I don't have a very good prayer life. That's because we're not living fourth dimensional. Prayer is talking to someone we've never seen. Prayer is asking something from someone we've never seen. Prayer is praising someone we've never seen. Prayer is thanking someone we've never seen. That's fourth dimensional. Is that right? When we get in the fourth dimension, this Bible comes alive.
Amen.
That's okay. That's all right. Don't worry about that. Everything's fine. Brother, listen. Do you know if you died tonight, are you 100% sure you're on the way to heaven?
Yeah.
That's fourth dimension. Witnessing is fourth dimension.
Right.
You know why people don't go like to witness? Well, if I talk to this boy, I wonder if his father's going to get mad at me.
Amen.
Now, in his case, stand up, brother. I wonder if I talk to this guy, if this guy's going to. But fourth dimension is, I wonder where his soul's gone when it going when he dies. Fourth dimension is, I wonder where this boy's soul is going when he dies. Fourth dimension is, I got my mind on heaven and hell. And fourth dimension is, I'm going to witness. And by the way, I don't do it as much as I should, and neither do you.
Right.
Fourth dimension is, thank you, man. Fourth dimension is, hey, it's okay to knock on the door and say, listen, I know this is kind of sudden and everything, but I just want to know if you die tonight or you're 100% sure you're going to heaven.
Right.
Nothing wrong with asking someone a fourth dimensional question.
That's right.
They can either say yes or no, or go away, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But listen, it's worth the 2,000 out there to have 5 or 10 say, would you come in? I'd like to talk to you about that.
That's right, brother.
That's right.
Amen.
You may have to go to 100 doors to get one to genuinely say, yeah, I am interested. Would you come in and talk to me?
That's right.
But it's worth it.
Glory.
You know, when we get in the fourth dimension, witnessing becomes a way of life. Passing out a track is a way of life.
Come on.
Because people are going to die and go to hell. And we don't know who's who, so we got to ask. Hey, shouldn't we teach our generation, our next generation, our children to live fourth dimensionally? Shouldn't we teach them to pray? Shouldn't we teach them to be in their Bible? Shouldn't we teach them to witness?
Amen.
Fourth dimensional stuff. I don't want my children growing up 3D.
Amen.
Did you hear what I said?
Amen.
I don't want my children growing up 3D, so their whole mind, their whole life is all 3D. I'm not concerned if my children know what on TV on what night of the week.
Right.
That doesn't concern me. If later on, when they're older, they want to watch TV, that's fine with me. That's up to them. When they're older and they're adult, they can do whatever they want. But as they're growing up, I don't want them to know what's on TV what night of the week.
Amen.
I want them to not think that way. Now listen, through their mind. TV is through their their mind. TV isn't the only thing. But what I'm saying is, they've got to think fourth dimensional as they're growing up. 17, 18, 19, and 20, 21-year-olds get into trouble. You know why? Christians, you know why? They're not thinking 4D, they're thinking 3D. We've got to do all we can to keep them in fourth dimension. Hey, the Wednesday night class, that's wonderful. The teens class, that's wonderful. In our home family altar, that's wonderful. All those things should be going on, wouldn't you agree? Hey, we start them when they're young. Why? Because as they get older, they're naturally going to move towards, naturally, towards the 3D. They're naturally going to move towards this world. Would you agree?
Yes.
Come on now, stay with me.
Yes.
The children are naturally going to move towards third dimension. We did.
Yes.
But supernaturally, they'll move away from 3D into 4D.
Amen.
Are you following me?
Yes. Come on.
Supernaturally.
Yes.
And if we just let them go and say, well, God will take care of them, they will naturally move to what? 3D. We have to encourage them. We have to be on them. And by the way, some of them are going to go 3D for a while and later come 4D later. Say, what did you just say? I said some are going to go into the world for a while. And sooner or later, like the prodigal son, they're going to want to come out again once they're done eating with the pigs.
Right.
Just like some of us. Praise the Lord. It stopped. We're using my watch. I always go by my watch. Be healed. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't lose me. Let me show you one last thing. How to get into the fourth dimension. Last thing. Last thing. Fourth dimension. Last thing. It'd be a shame to talk about fourth dimension and not say how to get there as a Christian. Let me show it to you. It's a scripture you're familiar with, but let me show it to you. Ephesians 5. Is that where you're at?
Yes.
Are you awake? One more scripture, can you hang in there?
Yes.
Ephesians 5, look at it. Verse 18, here it is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the what?
Spirit.
That's how we get in the fourth dimension as Christians. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
When I was saved, the Holy Spirit of God came into me. Is that what you read in your Bible?
Yes,
at salvation, the Holy Spirit of God came into me. Is that what you read? Now,
yes,
let me ask you a question. When's the last time you asked God to fill you with His Spirit? I read in the book of Acts, they were filled over and over and over and over again. Is that what you read?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you read?
Yes, sir.
Now listen, you know, sometimes people think, well, you know, these scriptures with this filling of the Holy Spirit stuff, isn't that for another church? That's for Christians.
That's right.
We've talked about it here many times. Being filled with the Holy Spirit of God is how we live in the fourth dimension. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
And I don't care the controversy out there. All as I know, in the book of Acts, they knelt and they prayed and they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God and it changed their lives.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, their lives were changed. You read again in later on in the book of Acts, they were filled with the Spirit of God and they were spake the Word of God with boldness. And again, they were filled. Over and over and over and over, they were filled. Don't let anybody rob you from the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be filled with God's Spirit. Now listen, we don't retain a filling of God's Spirit and we don't walk in His power by living in a three-dimensional world and having our minds in a three-dimensional world and worrying about three-dimensional stuff. We get on our knees and say, Lord, I'm ready to leave this old three-dimensional world in my mind and my heart, and I want to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. I want Him to control my life. I want to walk in my faith. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to seek ye first the kingdom of God. I want to set my mind on spiritual things, on things above. Lord, I need your filling tonight like I never needed it before. I want your Holy Spirit to come on me with power. Please, I need that. You say, what happens after we're filled? You know the semicolon, look at it. Verse 19, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. That's the first thing. That's one of the things, would you agree?
Yes.
Don't lose me now. Do you see the semicolon? Giving thanks always for all things unto God. We start thanking God for things. Is that right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
You see the semicolon? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Period. You know one of the greatest things about getting filled with God's Holy Spirit is we're not rebellious to each other.
Amen.
Husbands aren't rebellious to wives. Wives aren't rebellious to husbands. You say, wait a minute. Hold it. What's this thing about husband rebellion to wives? The wives are supposed to submit themselves to the husband. It says submitting yourselves one to another. Churches, all of a sudden, church members begin to submit themselves one to another. People working together begin to submit themselves one to another. Hey, you know what? I wouldn't give anybody anything for any doctrinal filling when they didn't get psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and thanking God and get to the place where they're not rebellious anymore.
Amen.
That's getting filled.
Amen.
That's fourth dimension. Someone says something to you and... My, that wasn't very nice, but maybe they're hurt today. Maybe there's a reason for that. I'll just submit myself unto it. That's getting filled. Is that what you read? You know what? If you get on your fourth dimensional road and I get on my fourth dimensional road and we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit is in control and we as a church are all walking down the fourth dimensional road that God has for us, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And by the way, listen to me here tonight. I don't care what you've been taught about the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's for you, Christian.
Amen.
I don't care who stood up and got you all confused and sideways about it. It's for you, Christian. Too many Christians are not asking for God's power. Too many Christians are not asking for His filling, and they're not willing to pay the price.
Amen.
It means walking in the fourth dimension.
Come on.
It means giving Him His way in our lives. It means when He says, get rid of this and get rid of that and clean that up and don't go there anymore, that we do it.
Amen.
That's fourth dimensional living.
Amen.
I'm looking, if you're falling asleep, I'm preaching longer. I want you to go to heaven and get up there. And God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You walked in the Spirit. You walked in the fourth dimension. You were filled with my Spirit. You didn't grieve my Holy Spirit. You did what you were supposed to do. Good job. That's what it's all about. Man, I don't want to have a church where there's bickering and fighting going on. That means we're not filled. I don't want to have a bunch of infighting. And praise the Lord, we don't have that here. Man, I was so happy today. Change in time, change in schedule, buses came in later, Sunday school went over well, a little thing in the B Sunday school, we got to work out a little bit, but nobody was mad, nobody was angry. Last Sunday night, man, I was thrilled. We were here for almost 3 hours. Nobody complained, at least not to me. That's getting filled. And when we get in our fourth dimension with God's filling and all of us work together, we pray together, we have a big push, we have a friend day, God's going to bless supernaturally.
Amen.
Man, I love to get up and preach at this church.
Amen.
I want God's power on my life. I mean, I want God's power. I don't want you to be under a powerless preacher. When I preach, I want God to work on your hearts. I want you to walk away and say, man, I'm changed.
Right.
I'm different. I don't want you to walk away and say, my, that was nice. I want you to walk away and not forget the message.
Right.
Last night I was preaching at Moreno Valley, Foothills Baptist Church, Mark Turner. And we were having a stewardship banquet. This church is 20 months old. A little over 100 on Sunday nights now. Started from scratch. Over 200 on Sunday morning. We've been supporting. He called me up a few months ago and said, "Preacher, I want you to come preach a stewardship banquet for me." I said, "Okay." Last night he said, "Man, I worked hard," but he said, "I'm a little disappointed." I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, there's only 50 people that showed up." He said, "There's 25, 30 people that aren't even here tonight." He said, "I should have worked harder." I said, "Well, let's just see what God will do." I said, "What's the goal?" He said, "$30,000." He said, "We've got to have $30,000. We talked for a while, and there were 50 people, and six of them were visitors. I meant 44 people total. I mean, men, women, dogs, cats, everybody. He said, if God will give us $30,000, everything will be fine. Now listen, I know some of you were praying for me last night. You knew I was out preaching, you were praying for me. So I got up and preached. You know what I preached on? Two messages combined. I preached on, "Show me your marks." And "Live in the fourth dimension." And we combined them. And I said, one day we're going to give an account of what we did in the fourth dimension at this banquet. And God's going to say, "Show me the marks in your checkbook." Amen. You know the message. When I said, "Show me your marks," you better remember that message.
Amen.
And so we did the pledges. And we got into that thing, and boy, I'd prayed a long time, because this was so important. They're buying their own property and putting up an auditorium, a triple-wide trailer that they bought. And with this $35,000, they'll be able to move in now and get started and have room for 300 in there. In the auditorium. They'll have room for 700 on the property. Our way, our style, they'd have room for 2,000. Amen? You know what I'm talking about. And I went through the thing, and I said, "All right, write a figure." And we went through all that thing. We got to the end. We took the pledges up. And I sat down. And we waited and waited and had testimonies and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And finally said, "Are you guys done back there yet? Would you please bring it so we can testify what we've done?" And he finally brought it up, and I saw him look at it, and he went. I thought, that's either good or bad. 44 people there last night. You know what? Common people, just like you and I. Nobody in there was rich, because I asked anybody. Anybody rich in here? Anybody raise their hand? There may have been one or two in there that had a little bit of money, but not much, because I asked the pastor. Last night, we had the pledge, and they pledged to come in within 90 days, $27,000. Cash that was given last night, cash, checks, cash, $16,000. They walked out with $43,000 last night, and he said, "Preacher, there was a woman that said they couldn't be here tonight, but she's going to give $3,000. 46. They got their property. And boy, I tell you what, that pastor was encouraged. And there's going to be a church in that area that's growing in Moreno Valley. It's outside of March Air Force Base. It's growing by leaps and bounds. And they're door knocking. And they're out there getting the gospel out. Last year, their first anniversary, they had 486 in the services. They're doing the job. Now they got their own property. You know why? Simple. Some people last night jumped into the fourth dimension. They didn't give according to their resources. They give according to His resources.
Amen.
They did something by faith. I'm just saying tonight, you want to live an exciting life? If you say you're bored as a Christian, it's because you're living 3D.
Amen.
Let me say it again. If you're bored as a Christian, it's because you're living three dimensions.
Amen.
You jump into fourth dimensional and you'll be anything but bored.
Yeah,
it'll keep you on your knees.
Amen.
Would you do something for me tonight? Would you do something for yourself? Would you do something for your family and your children? And would you do something for your church and this our Lord? Would you get on your knees tonight and ask God to fill you again? You say, "But I don't believe in that." Try. Read it. Ask for God's Spirit. Mean it. Say, "God, please fill me with your Holy Spirit." Now listen, I know it's salvation. He says, "I come and He makes our abode in us." But listen, we need His power. We need His filling. Why? Because we speak in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's nice. Because we sing and make melody in our hearts, we give thanks, that's nice. Because we submit ourselves to one another, that's nice. But even more than that, listen to me, we walk by faith down a four-dimensional road. And we keep on our four-dimensional path. And there's more fruit on that path than on our three-dimensional path. Get on the fourth-dimensional road and keep on going. And I don't care if a Christian stands in your way and say, you're dumb, you're silly, you shouldn't be going down this path, you should be going over there. Bowl him over! Say, what'd you say? I said, if a Christian stands in your way and says, don't go down this road anymore, you're a fool, you're foolish, you can't do it. If you know God's in it, say, look out, get out of my way, man! I better bowl him over and find out that I was wrong and never to have tried. Someone gets in your way and they hurt you. And then they oppress you. And they just stand in your way and they nag you. And they nag you and say, look out, I'm coming through! Say, serious, I'm serious. And you look at me, this church would never have been where it is today if there hadn't been people in here that wouldn't have said, we're going on. Look out, get out of the way. We're coming through. Fourth dimension road leads right this way. You're either going with us or you're getting out of the way. And we are going on. Hey, somebody told me 3 years ago we were out of property, out of land, out of room, out of space. We just found more today. Somebody said, we're out of room. We're not out of room. Hey, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 2, 3, 4, 45. We got room for 50 more people here tonight. At least 50 more. And when we squeeze the pews together and open up the balcony, we got room for 40 more. Amen. We got plenty of room. Hey, go out and get your friends. There's still room. Friend Day's coming. Let's do our jobs. Fill with God's Spirit and see what He does. With you, stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.